Our New Testament reading is on Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4, and chapter 2, 1 through 4. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is a reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It has declared at first through the Lord, and it has attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our scripture lesson today is 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And he said, "Here I am," and he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "No, I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went and lied down again. And the Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel got up to go to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "No, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." People have a tendency to listen only to what they want to listen to. A man shared a story about his Uncle Dick. Now apparently his uncle noticed that every time he ate his favorite food, chitlins, his foot pained him immensely that evening. He finally went to the family physician, and that doctor confirmed his suspicion of pork-induced gout. And when the uncle returned home from the doctor's office, his wife asked him, "Well, how did your appointment go?" And Uncle Dick plopped off his shoes and replied, "Well, the doctor said I'm going to have gout about 3 times a week. People have a tendency to hear and listen only to what they want to hear. The Bible even tells us this. God's word informs us that the heart is deceitful above all things. In Ezekiel, God complained that these people have ears to hear, but they never hear. They have eyes to see, but they never see. But God knew people would be like that. And so repeatedly through Scripture, you can hear God say, "Listen to me. Listen to me. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn from them and keep and do them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the word which the Lord speaks unto you.
Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said also, He that has ears, let him hear. Well, the question you might be asking yourself now is, well, why does God want us to listen? After all, we have so much to tell Him. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What God is saying is, I want to bless you. I want to give you what your heart desires, but I can't do it if you won't listen. God wants us to hear His voice. And God wants us to hear His voice because that's the only way we'll receive all the blessings that He wants to give us. But we struggle with this because our hearts are deceitful. That is, we hear only what we want to hear, and we tend to put our own priorities above His. Even the most righteous do this occasionally, because even the most righteous has a deceitful heart. How do we heal that deceitful heart? How do we protect ourselves from this disease? And how do we open ourselves up to the full blessings that God wants to place in our lives? You know, Donna doesn't like to just sit around and listen. She's got to be doing something all the time. She'll even drift into the kitchen and begin putting away dishes in the dishwasher rather than sit in the living room with me listening to the wisdom that I have to share. She might even need to go down to the back room and clean up the office or something, and I'm still talking. And I get frustrated. Go figure. Why do I get frustrated? Because I know that if she is not in the same room, she's probably not listening to me anymore. If you're going to hear God's voice, if you're going to know His will, you've got to be in the same room as He is. And that's why church attendance is so critical. That's why Bible study is essential. Jesus said, Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Another but no less critical activity that places you in the same room as our Lord is prayer. Oh, I'm not just talking about those arrow prayers. You know, those prayers that you got one goal in mind. I'm not talking about those emergency prayers. But what I'm talking about is a sit down and spend time with God type of prayer. You know, we're going to have a prayer time here at St. Matthew's. We're going to have a 24-hour prayer vigil so that early one Friday morning we will have somebody in this sanctuary praying for the 24 hours following. Or we'll have extra police watch. I'll be here throughout. Hopefully there'll be more than one person at a time signed up. But for 24 hours, St. Matthew's is going to be in prayer. We want to pray for our country. We want to pray for our leaders, for the economic situation that is we're suffering in today. We want to pray during those 24 hours for St. Matthew's that the Holy Spirit might come into each and heart of the congregation members and be filled up with energy and a newness in your walk with Christ. The first thing we need to work on is being in the same room with God. Secondly, we need to work out our priorities. There will be times when listening to God will be inconvenient. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, Here I am, you called me again. But then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so he told Samuel, go and lie down again. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and did as he was told. Now, those who know me best know that there are two things you don't really mess with. You don't mess with my shoes, and you don't mess with my sleep. And had I been Samuel and heard my name being called over and over and over again, Mark, Mark, what? Mark, what? Well, for me to continually be awoken from sleep, now that's inconvenient. I don't like it. And those who are wise don't do it. But I suppose God could, if he really wanted to. And he has. You know, God often calls us to do things that, well, just don't fit our schedule. Often he calls us to do things that don't fit our agenda, that don't fit our ideas of what should be done. Do you know anybody that really gets you going? Really pushes your buttons? Do you know somebody you like to take into the back room and just wail away on for a while? Well, I've only heard people confess such feelings. Never really had them myself. But you know what the Word of God tells me to do? He tells me to love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's a little bit inconvenient at the time I'm upset. He goes on and says, if someone strikes you on the one cheek, turn them to the other cheek also. If somebody takes your coat, give them your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, that's pretty inconvenient. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. You know what? If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, there's nothing in it for you. Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But you love your enemies. You do good to them, and you lend them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. Where was Samuel when God called? He was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. You know, the author could have simply said Samuel was sleeping, but he goes into some detail. It's as if he's saying, I want you to know where Samuel was sleeping. Why are these details important? I believe it's important because God wanted us to see that when Samuel heard God's voice, he was sleeping next to God. In other words, proximity is critical. If you're going to hear, you got to be near. James tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then finally, in order to hear God, I have to give God permission to speak to me. I have to stop doing what I'm doing and direct my attention towards him. What was Eli's advice to Samuel? His advice was, give God permission to speak to you. Go lay down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, that's great advice, but it's sort of odd that Eli should give it because Eli hadn't listened to God for years. And God tells Samuel, "Now, at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Now, the reason God gave this message to Samuel was partly because Eli had refused to listen. If you're going to hear God, you've got to give him permission. If you're going to hear God, you've got to stop what you're doing and admit that it's time to listen. You got to give him permission to speak to your heart. And that's not always easy, particularly when your hearts often deceive us. But once we make that decision, it can change our lives. There was a story about Roy. Roy had regularly attended church as a child, but he was raised in a bizarre, legalistic church family that warped his life. At church, his dad was a pillar, active in the church, even served as a deacon. But at home, Dad was an abusive monster. Well, as soon as he could, Roy bolted from the church and wanted nothing to do with it. He was a crude, rude man who looked out for number one. He didn't pretend to be one thing at church while he was something else at home. He didn't pretend at all. Roy was a scoundrel and a cheat, and he didn't care who knew it. Well, when he turned 60, Roy started going to church again. Oh, he'd walk in late, and he'd sit in the back row, and he'd listen for a while. But he would always leave before the service ended. The preacher would try to witness to Roy, but Roy wouldn't have anything to do with the gospel or those hypocrites at the church. But he kept coming to church. He kept listening and watching. And within a couple of years, God got a hold of him and changed Roy's life. You see, the people loved him to Christ. Preacher said today, he's a sweet, loving man. Roy's transformation took 60 years. But it began when he sat down next to God and began to listen to what the Heavenly Father wanted to tell him. Have you been placing yourself in a place near to God? Have you given him permission to speak to you? Have you been listening to the Father? Do you know who you are yet? And whose you are? What do you believe? And are you living it out? And are you really a Christ-like person trying to be like Jesus? Do you believe that you can be changed and transformed? Come to the Lord's table this morning and put yourself in a place that you can hear and respond to God as he speaks a special word with you.